Grief, there's a lot of you. Great to see you all this morning. It's my pleasure to be here. Wow. Whew. You ever feel, you know, if you get up and you're doing public speaking and you get that little bit nervous, yeah, and then you realise you've got the wrong translation. So I've prepared everything here based on the ESV. So we'll call this, you know, an opportunity for insight, right? So as we go through, I'll be reading from the ESV, but follow along in your Bibles. Before we start, why don't we just quickly open in prayer? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing it is to meet here and to read your word and to hear you speak to us this morning about wisdom. And Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say and to respond. So Father, please lead us as we sit around your word this morning. Amen. So some people think that knowledge is power. You know, the more you know, the better. The more you know, the more you can manipulate and steer your life to ensure the best outcome for yourself. And in many circumstances, knowledge is great for doing just that. And people spend years, decades even, in search of more knowledge. Think about it. We go through life, growing up as kids through school. By the time you finish school, what then? You've got uni, or perhaps if not uni, you're off to TAFE, or an apprenticeship, or something else, so you can learn more knowledge, so you can prepare, you can provide for yourself a better life. And in a lot of cases, more knowledge will be required in the future. You know, there's a massive culture today of having to upskill or to progress your career. You know, people spend over 15 years before they finish their first lot of study doing that, and then they're expected to change careers, not just jobs, but careers, at least 4 times before they retire. That's massive. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is key, right? Yeah. Right, so we want knowledge. We want to know more. We want to know more so we can do more, so we can make more, and we can be more. And that's good. Knowledge is fine. It's what a blessing it is that here in Australia, we can receive an education and we can send our kids to great schools and universities to get more knowledge. Now, what if I told you that there was something better than knowledge? Would you want that? Okay, what if God said he has something that he wants you to have that's better than knowledge? Would you want it? Yeah, of course you would. I see a few nods. Thank goodness. It's exactly what we have here in Proverbs 8. Wisdom is what we should want. Wisdom is what we should be aiming to achieve. Because there's something that's different about it. There's something that sets it apart from knowledge. And by the blessing of God, through his word that we have in front of us today, we can come to learn all about this wisdom. So here in Proverbs 8, we get to find answers to questions like, what is wisdom? What is this wisdom? Why should I want it? You know, what's in it for me? Why is it helpful? And lastly, okay, I know what it is. I know why I should want it. How do I get it then? How do I get this wisdom? Does that sound good? Sound like something we would want? Yeah. All right, well, let's not waste any more time. Let's open our ears and hearts and minds to understand all about this wisdom. So firstly, what exactly is wisdom? Well, throughout Proverbs 8, you know, scattered all through it, are little traits that help build up this picture of what wisdom is. And there's one thing I want you to notice there first. Wisdom, and I want to make a distinction here, this wisdom, specific wisdom here, is from God. And it's established by God. That's what we see in that big chunk, verses 22 to 31. So, having a look at verse 22 there. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, at the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. And the writer goes on over the next 10 verses or so to paint this picture of God. He's there at the start of all creation, creating his world in all of its complexities, all of its different facets, and the whole time the writer is saying there, wisdom, God's wisdom is there. It's with wisdom that God created everything. With purpose and meaning, he built his whole creation with relationships. It all works together. So with wisdom, God made everything around us. Now, this is important. I want you to realize there's a distinction here about this type of wisdom. The distinction is there's God's wisdom on one hand, but there's worldly wisdom on the other. It's not necessarily in the pages, but it's a distinction that we need to draw. You see, for if God's wisdom was set forth at creation by God, it was with him from the beginning, worldly wisdom is wisdom that's been derived from human experience. It's wisdom that's been learnt throughout human history, which is good, but there's a danger here. The danger is that human history is played out where? It's played out in a fallen world. It's wisdom that's been developed over a long time, but it's been developed under the influence of sinful nature. It's been developed with the influence of the devil and his forces. You see, just in many ways, like our attempts to be like God, worldly wisdom is our attempt to define meaning and purpose in creation. But in reality, the wisdom that we've derived is just no substitute for the wisdom from God. Have a think about some of the wise words that you hear from the world today. What sorts of things do we hear? After thousands of years of human history, we've got some things like this, right? You can do whatever you want with your life as long as you don't hurt anyone else. Or, here's one I'm going through at the moment, you have to get your foot in the property market in Australia as early as possible, right? Here's a big one, your happiness is the most important thing. Happy wife, happy life. Right? Actually, that one probably stands up. You know, it's funny, right? I had my wife, Fee, have a read through this talk through the week and gave me some notes, and she just wrote a little note here that says, yes. And I want a puppy. Notice, though, the worldly wisdom we get, it's driven by a certain undercurrent. Particularly, over the last 50 years or so, there's been this big push to get ourselves away from this idea of being a Christian society or from having a Christian identity. It's pulling us away from that and getting us towards an understanding of life where I make the rules myself. I rule my life. But God's wisdom is different. Have a read with me verses 4 and 5. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. And if you skip down to verse 32. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life. The wisdom of God is different. The wisdom of God says to search out more of his wisdom. It's saying don't turn your back on God, don't reject his rule, but it says to learn more from him. Be more wise under God. So what is this wisdom? It's the recognition that God knows what is right. It's the recognition that I don't know what is best for my life, and it's knowing that I need to listen more to the wisdom of God in order to find life. That's what this wisdom is. But why should I choose it? Why would I want to listen to this wisdom? Why should we pay attention here to Proverbs 8 and not to the wisdom from human history that's developed over many, many thousands of years? Well, there's three things. God's wisdom, it's trustworthy, it's right, and it's valuable. So firstly, it's trustworthy. We know that we can trust this wisdom because this wisdom comes from none other than who? It's God himself. Imagine for a sec that you're the lucky person who got the very first electric car in Australia. I have no idea, what was it, a Tesla? I didn't do the research on it. But woo, free car, it's great, you know? And the manufacturer says, look, it's all yours, go for it. But God, this is a new technology. You need to drive it just a little bit differently from your old car, right? You know, there's some things like, you know, the range is a bit different. You've got to drive it differently or you might not get where you want to go. And servicing and that sorts of things. Obviously, you're going to listen to what the manufacturer has to say. You listen to them because they made the thing, right? And you know that you can trust what they say. They're trustworthy and they know what they're talking about. It's the same kind of thing here. This wisdom is from God, the creator, the sustainer, and the ruler of the whole universe, who made everything and knows how his creation is designed to run. We can trust the wisdom in these pages because God is trustworthy, and it's him who gives it. It's not to say that worldly wisdom is of no help at all. Remember, happy wife, happy life. There's some very helpful stuff there. But whenever we face a decision, be it big or small, ultimately we need to look to the wisdom of God for guidance. We need to look to him above all else. Why? Because he is the creator, the ruler and sustainer of all. So this wisdom, it's trustworthy. And it also says what is right and what is true. It's true. Turn with me to verse 6 for a moment. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and those who find, and right to those who find knowledge. And also again in verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. You see, the wisdom of God will only speak what is true. It's funny, it's a bit of a self-referential argument, isn't it? But realize here, this is an assurance from God that he will not lead you astray. You don't need to worry that what he's telling you is going to lead you down a bad path, because the words of God are trustworthy and true. They have real insight and show real prudence. They show real righteousness that comes from God and not through any endeavor or reasoning that's been tainted by a sinful world. So this wisdom, it's trustworthy, it's true, and it's incredibly valuable. Why do you want it? Because it's valuable. You see, the wisdom of the world, it's concerned with what? Right here, right now. It guides and leads us to focusing on achieving in our careers, or growing our bank balances, or gaining happiness for our lives. And these things are actually, you know, they seem kind of like the stuff we want. I don't know about you, but I would like money and happiness and success. But God's wisdom is better than all of these. Listen to what's in verses 10 and 11. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire, cannot compare with her. You know, I think it's kind of funny. The real lesson of Proverbs 8 is that wisdom is telling us to choose wisdom. And why? Because wisdom is far more valuable than anything we can want here. You may say, well, how is it valuable? What makes it so awesome to have? Have a look at what wisdom can bring to us. From verse 17. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honour are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Listen for a sec there. Enduring wealth and righteousness. Let's keep reading. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. See, wisdom produces something. It gives us something. And it's not something that we, wisdom is not something that we just take on board and learn from. But it yields something. Something that's immensely valuable and enduring. And ultimately, wisdom leads us to something that the world will not. The crux of it is revealed for us in the last couple of verses of that passage. It says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favour from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." Wisdom says, choose me and you will find life. Choose to follow the wisdom of God and then you will be led into an everlasting and enduring and rich life. I think this is the same type of thing Jesus is getting at in Matthew 6. I'm not sure if you know this story, but it's where Jesus is telling the crowds, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why would you store up treasures on earth? That's where moths and vermin come in and destroy. Thieves break in and steal. They take away what you've worked so hard for to achieve here on earth. He says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where these things cannot break in, destroy and steal. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So don't be caught up in the focus of this world. Don't have the tunnel vision that says, this is where you should be focusing your life and efforts. Turn your attention to God. Ask for his wisdom and for his guidance, for his rule over your life, and for the forgiveness that comes through his son at the cross. Turn to God and not to the wisdom of this world, and then you will find life. Because remember, whoever fails to find the wisdom of God injures himself. Those who hate God's wisdom love death. So why do we choose wisdom? Because it's trustworthy, it's true, and it's valuable. But how then do we get it? Well, there are three quick things I want to, three takeaways I want you to touch on here, sorry. The first is that it starts with a choice. If you're a parent, I'm sure over the years you've probably heard some absolute humdinger excuses from your kids over the years, right? I can definitely say when I was a kid, I gave some good ones. I can remember, so being a local Terry Hills boy, I'd love my BMX. I'd be around at the Terry Hills Oval around there with the guys building jumps, and my jumps were sort of about this big, pop around. And I was there one day, I was about 15 or so, with a few guys, and these guys are a bit better than me, building up some big jumps. And I'm saying, it went from about here to about here, right? And the launch was about that big. And my friends were egging me on. They're going, come on, mate, you can make that. That's a nothing gap. I've had braces to fix bigger gaps than that. Apart from being a gross exaggeration of his dental situation, right, it turned out it was actually a bit optimistic of both my courage and my ability. And this is the part where most of the guys cringe when they realise the next part is me on the side of the track for about 10 minutes in the fetal position. But I remember as I was talking to Mum afterwards, she asked me why I did such a ridiculously big jump, or tried to do. And my answer? He told me to do it. If you're like me, you can probably admit to giving some pretty cruddy reasons like this, or the other infamous one, well, everyone else was doing it. But you see, at the start, there was a choice. Although I might not have seen it, I had a choice. The choice was for me to, on one hand, risk my safety and go for the jump, go for the glory, or it was to take a step back, to ignore what the others were saying, what they were saying about me, and not put myself in harm's way. And you see, wisdom is born out of how we approach decisions in life. It starts with a choice. That, I think, is why in verse 10 we hear wisdom pleading for the reader to choose wisdom rather than gold or jewels, things that we would naturally want here on earth. So we need to choose to listen to wisdom. It starts with a choice. But what comes after that? Well, we actually need to search out more wisdom. It might seem a bit of a basic point, but you actually need to be active. You know, the choice to look to wisdom is only the start. You actually need to be active and respond and search out more wisdom. How can we do that? Well, there's a few quick ways. First one, read your Bible and pray. It's a really simple one, but pick up the Word of God each morning and just read it. Let God speak to you each day. Pay attention to what you read. A helpful one is to read passages in context. Try and find out what their actual meaning was. Sometimes we can try and read little snippets and take away bits from that, but it's helpful to read the context and have the Word of God speak to us. Think about it through the day and let God guide you through the choices and decisions that you'll face each day. I think you'd be amazed, if you actually do this, how relevant what you've read in the morning will be to what decisions you have to make through the day. People say that this ancient document, it's outdated, it's not relevant anymore. I defy them on that. Pick up your Bible and read it and let God speak to you. And remember to pray to Him, talk back with Him and submit your life to His choices. And you know what? God actually says that He's not going to leave us alone to do this. In John chapter 14, He actually says He will give us a helper. He says He will give us His Spirit to lead us through the day to day. He knows that life will be hard and will bombard us with different reasons and pressures that will lead us possibly astray. So He promises to give us His helper, the Spirit. Another practical one you can do is take some notes. Whenever you're hearing the Bible or reflecting on it, whenever you're reading it in the morning, just write something down. Just even a little one-liner, something to take away. The very act of writing something down engages your mind far more than what it will have if you were just reading or just sitting and listening. So be active. Write something down, engage your mind, and that way you've also got something to go back to later. If you're taking notes, you can go home and test what I'm saying against the scriptures, and you can come back and tell me off later. But take notes. It's a fantastically helpful thing. And also, never forget to look to Jesus. Turn your focus to the one that God sent to shed light on this dark world. Yeah. Turn your eyes to look at the very nature of God in the person of Jesus. Learn from Him. Learn from the wisdom that God has shown. You know, God has enacted at a point in history where He's come to show and lead people to Himself in the person of Jesus. A good place to start here is in Matthew chapters 5 and 6, the Sermon on the Mount, or the Lord's Prayer. So look to Jesus. Be more active in how you respond to God's Word. Choose to pursue it and then actually pursue wisdom. The last thing I want to say about how to get wisdom or how to be wise is this, and this could be a difficult one for people, but don't be afraid or ashamed to choose the wisdom of God. Don't be afraid to go against what the world is telling you should do, because as we saw, the world is concerned with things that are only just for now. The world is so short-sighted in where it focuses. It says pursue wealth. It says to work hard and provide for yourself a nice home, a car, a job. And the world is going to throw at you so many different reasons that you should be doing this. You know, it's okay because everyone else is doing it. You know, you need to make a name for yourself. Or, this is quite a big one, particularly in our recent culture, doing it this way is way more fun than that way. It's a bit like today. Being a Revhead, I'd hang out for this day all year. I look forward to it with eagerness because today is Bathurst Day. Bathurst 1000. After church today, I'm off with a couple of friends. We're going to go watch the race, just have a good afternoon hanging out with some mates. But when this was all being organised, I said to the guy organising it, I'm actually down to preach that morning. And his response was, blow it off. You know, get rid of it. To him, the race is far more important. It's far more exciting. So I had to make a choice. Where would my focus be? Would it be on God or on the mountain? And as tantalising as racing is to me, I want and I love to spend my mornings here in fellowship with you, hearing from God and taking the chance to focus myself on what really matters. That's what I love, above racing or anything else. The world will hit you with reasons that turn your focus and your efforts, your gaze to things that are in the end only temporary. They're dust. Ultimately, they will amount to nothing. And if you focus on what the world focuses on, if you're looking where the world is looking, eventually, where you're focusing so hard will be on nothing. It'll disappear. What will you choose? What will you focus your life in attaining? Where is your focus currently? Where's your focus today? Because your ears really should be pricking up here. You and I need to listen to the warning here in Proverbs 8. Where am I focusing? Where is my life? Where is your life focused? Is it wisdom and God? Or is it the world? Dust. Because whoever finds wisdom finds life. Where is your focus? So don't be afraid to go against the focus of the world, right? Don't be ashamed to commit your life to following the wisdom of God. Because when you stop following the fleeting desires of creation, then you get to turn and see something that is amazing. You see something that's incredible. When you turn your focus and your life to following God and the wisdom that He blesses us with, then what comes into focus now is heaven. You can turn and finally see eternal life with the Lord your God. You find with God riches and honour and blessing and justice and peace and life. The blessings of wisdom are so much more than anything we can ever hope to attain here on earth. Why should you listen to the call of wisdom? Because it leads us to search out more of God's wisdom. It leads us to search out and find Christ, our Saviour. And it leads us to life with Him for eternity. Let's give thanks. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the blessing of Your word, for the blessing of Your wisdom that You give to us, for the blessing of Your Son at the cross. And Lord, we pray that You'll daily turn our attention to You by the work of Your Spirit. Change our lives, give us minds that are desire to bring glory to You in everything that we do. Help us to focus on what is everlasting and what You've given us at the cross. Amen.